Heavenly Father, as I bring your word to your congregation, I pray that it is your words and not mine, your thoughts and not mine, your heart and mine, and that your glory is brought before them. These things we ask in your holy, blessed name. Amen. Uncle Steve, that was a whale of a tale. I liked it. Remind me to tell you sometime about the day my dad caught me. Right in the middle of the head. Joshua stood before the congregation of Israel at the end of his life. After serving them for 26 years following the death of Moses, talk about some big shoes to fill. He was an old man now, 110 years old. And yet he had begun serving in his 80s and led the children of Israel to victory after victory in the Lord. And he knew that his life was coming to a close. But like the faithful servant that he was, he couldn't leave his people without a final admonition. It's found in our scripture reading for today, but if you'll turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. Now Joshua had gathered all the people of Israel together before his death, and he said to them in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away all the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. But if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which they served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose lands you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You see, Joshua understood something that a lot of us forget, especially when times are good. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow. All we have is today. All we have is right now, this moment. And we're so busy sometimes living for tomorrow that we forget to live for God today. The Bible's full of stories of people who were almost convinced, who were almost ready, but not quite. Those people who waited one day too late. One of those people is found in Matthew chapter 19, if you'll turn there. He was young and rich. He had everything going for him. And he came up to Jesus, and he said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Isn't that typical of our society even today? We want that quick fix, that one thing, that pill that makes it all better. We want the one thing we have to do to get our goal. And Jesus answered him, saying, "Why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." "Yeah, easy," the young man said. "I've done that my whole life." And he said to him, "Which one?" Jesus just gave him an answer. And he had to get a little more specific, because it was too hard to keep all of them. Come on, which one? And Jesus said, Thou shalt not do murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, young man got a little puffed up. And he said, well, all these I've kept from my youth. But what more do I lack? See, he was smart enough to realize that something was missing. But he didn't like the answer that he got. And Jesus said to him, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come this day and follow me. I added to this day. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He almost walked with Jesus, but he let his money, his possessions, keep him from it. How many times have we done the same thing? The fear of losing our physical comforts. How many times have we let that keep us from answering God's call? Another time is actually a parable Jesus told in Luke chapter 12. Turn there if you will. Beginning in verse 15, Jesus tells the story of a man. He says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And then he spoke unto them in the parable, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I have no room to bestow my fruits. And so he said, ah, I will pull down my barns and build greater ones. And there I will bestow all my goods and my fruits. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for the many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You see, Jesus wanted us to remember that life is not all about obtaining easy street. And our goal in life should not be to save up enough so we can retire early so we can play on a cruise for the rest of our lives. Sorry, honey. That there are more important things in this life and in the next to come. And while God may grant us abundance here on this earth, don't be fooled into thinking that it's for your pleasure only. He gives us that we might bless others. But when we hoard it for ourselves, we take a chance on losing God's favor. Be warned. An interesting story is found in the book of Acts, chapter 26, if you'll turn there, of a man who did just that. Young Agrippa, the great-grandson of Herod, the Herod that tried to kill Jesus as a baby, young Agrippa had before him one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament by the name of Paul. And Paul had been brought to him to answer the charge of setting fire to Rome, actually, and to answer charges against blasphemy, among other things. This Agrippa happened to be married to a woman who was of Jewish descent. And he was listening to Paul's defense as Paul witnessed about Jesus. And in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 22, actually, beginning in verse 19, it says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, and then should repent and turn, that they should repent and turn to God, and do the works and meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both of small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say that say would come." And then Paul begins to tell Agrippa what it is that his purpose is in this life, that Christ should suffer and that he should be first, that and he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spoke for himself, Furtus said in a loud voice, "Paul, what are you saying? Are you mad?" But Paul said to him, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words and the truth in soberness. For the king himself knows of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a secret corner." And King Agrippa responded, he asked King Agrippa, "Believest thou the prophets? I know that you do." And King Agrippa said unto Paul, "I am almost persuaded to become a Christian." And I love Paul's response in verse 29. And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but all who hear me this day were both almost and altogether persuaded by such bonds as I have accepted in Christ Jesus." Agrippa was almost ready to accept the gospel. Can you imagine the turn in history if Agrippa, one of the great Roman emperors, had one of the great Herods, he wasn't a Roman emperor, he was actually a Herod, if he had accepted Christianity, the message and the life of Christ? How different the children of Israel would be today had Herod, their leader, had Agrippa, their leader, accepted Paul's message. Instead, Agrippa never accepted God's message. And in fact, he died alone, without a wife or children, at the age of 70, with no great accomplishments to his name. He had his moment. He had his chance right there before him, but he didn't take it. He waited one day too late. I had my own one day too late a couple of years ago. I'd been working in the nursing home setting for not very long. I had originally worked as a speech therapist in the school systems, and I loved working with my babies and my kids, and I knew the rules there, but I had just started working in the nursing home and wasn't familiar with working with adults and wasn't comfortable with it. And you ever seen that movie Grumpy Old Men? I had one of those as a patient, and every time I would go in to ask him, "Are you ready for speech therapy now?" he would throw something at me. And it wasn't always pleasant, the things he would throw at me. And I began to hear God's prompting in my ears. Have you asked him if he knows who I am?
And I thought, I'm not asking him that.
And I heard his voice again say, tell him that I love him.
And I thought, not me. I'm not telling him.
And I heard his voice a third time say, tell him that Jesus died for him.
But I came up with every excuse in the book. I'm not allowed. He won't listen. He's not ready. I'm not ready. I don't know what to say. I haven't got the words.
I fought with God for an entire week. Every day I went into that man's room and he threw something new at me. I refused to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to tell this man about God's love. And finally, I woke up in the middle of the night hearing God's voice again, and I said, okay, God, today's the day. I will listen to you today. I will tell him today whether I be fired or not. And I felt kind of like Esther going in before the king. If I perish, I perish. And I went into the man's room prepared to tell him about the God that I loved. And his bed was empty. He had died just an hour after I had woken that morning and accepted the call to tell him. And I never forgot the lesson I learned that day. We don't get a lot of second chances in this life. And when God calls us to go where he wants us to go or to say what he wants us to say, we have to take that moment to do it because we may not get another one. I determined from that day forward that I would never let another prompting of the Spirit die on my lips. And though I cannot do anything for the gentleman who passed, every day I am alive and I breathe, I have a chance to do something for every person who comes across my path. I love Brenda Walsh, Kids Time leader, said in one of her books that she gets up every morning and she asks God, please send me one person today whom I can bless with your love. And then she prays a second part of that prayer, help me to recognize that's the one. But we have a lot of excuses in this life. We have a lot of things that keep us from talking when we should talk. Some of our excuses are our family. You know, I've heard people say, well, I would witness, but I just don't have time. I've got so much to do at home. I've got, you know, my husband doesn't like it when I speak in public. My wife doesn't. I embarrass her. My children's, oh. Now, how many parents have not embarrassed their children at some point in their lives? But Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus promises us that if we are willing to do what he asks us to do, he will make it right. And we don't have to worry about our family if we do what he says. Now, that doesn't mean you neglect your family, that you don't provide for your family. But don't let your family be your excuse not to follow Jesus.
Matthew 6:19 takes care of another excuse, money. Matthew 6:19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves cannot break in and steal." Where's our heart? Is it on this earth? Or is it in heaven? It should be in heaven. The one who gave everything for us deserves everything from us. Let us not let money be our excuse for why we cannot serve the Lord when He calls us. Another excuse we often have is a lack of faith. Mark 9:23. I love the story in Mark 9:23. A father came before Jesus and asked him, "Please, please heal my child." And Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And I love the father's response. He loved his child so much that though he knew that he doubted, he knew whom he could go to. To whom he could go, I should say. Smack my little English. He knew to whom he could go to find the strength to believe so that he could follow his Lord. When he said to him, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Don't let a lack of faith in God's ability stop you from serving Him. He's promised us that if He calls us to do it, He will equip us to do it. Jeff, God may call you to stand up here one time. If He does, He will equip you for it. Right, Jenna? Right? Don't let a lack of faith stop you from following the Lord. What about fear of the unknown? "Oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to say. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what God's got planned for me." God's got that covered too. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God's got it. He's got it covered. And you don't have to worry about what tomorrow will hold. If you follow Him today, He's got tomorrow in His hands. You don't have to be afraid of the unknown. Now, I know our LEs know about this one. Fear of rejection. I did my stint. I remember walking up to that, knocking on that door and go, "What do you want? Who are you? Step off the porch, I've got a gun." See, I did LEs in Texas, and when they said they got a gun, they mean it. They got a gun. They got two or three. But fear of rejection should not stop us from serving the Lord. And God's got an answer for that too. It's found in John chapter 6, verse 37. And He says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." If it's meant to be, God will make it happen. Your job is not to convince others that Jesus loves them. Your job is not to be a junior Holy Spirit. It is not your job to convict their souls. It is your job to open your mouth and speak the words that God told you to speak. Amen? All you've got to do is be willing to be the vessel. That's all He asks. The Holy Spirit does the rest. You think about the parable of the sower. The sower, all he did was scatter the seed. Who grew the plants? Who watered the plants? God did. Who sent the sunshine to help the plants grow? I can't hear you. Who sent the sunshine? God did. Who taught the plant how to go from a seed to a plant? God did. Our only job is to sow the seed. So don't be afraid of rejection, because that's not our job. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting him. I remember when God told Samuel, you remember when Samuel was talking to the children of Israel, he led the children of Israel. He faithfully served the Lord his whole life through. From the time he was a child, he served in the temple of the Lord. He dedicated his entire life to the Lord. And at the end of his life, the children of Israel wanted a king. And poor Samuel fell to his knees and he wept and said, "They have rejected me, God." And God reminded him, "They have not rejected you. They've rejected me." Don't worry about being rejected, because the battle belongs to the Lord. And we shouldn't worry about the fear of failure either, because Luke 1:31 says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." If God is the one telling you to do whatever it is he's telling you to do, then there is no way you can fail. None whatsoever. If you are doing it in his will, in his time, when he prompts you to do it. And if you think that's not enough, let's go to Matthew 19:26. Because Jesus says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.'" And as if that weren't enough, Romans 8:31 tells us, "When they shall say to these things, 'If God is for us, who can be against us?'" We don't have anything to fear. Not rejection, not the unknown, not failure. When we place our trust in him and him alone, when we follow him and we let him lead us, there is nothing we cannot accomplish. But we have to choose today to serve him. The time for excuses has passed. The time for waiting has passed. We are guaranteed nothing but this day. So leave nothing unsaid. Leave no one unloved. Serve the Lord while you can. And I say to you, as Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If that is your wish today, will you stand with me as we sing our closing hymn, "The Savior is Waiting"? And if you have never given your heart to Jesus, if you've heard his prompting, but you never answered the call, and you want to go ahead and answer that call while the song is playing, I want to encourage you to come up today. I want to encourage you to take this moment in time to answer his call. And if, go ahead and start playing the music. And if you have heard his prompting, but you've never dedicated your heart to him, don't wait another minute. If you have, and you've walked away from him, let him guide you again. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, and you want to give this day to him, I want to invite you to come up as well as we sing hymn number 289. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times that we have let your words go unsaid. Forgive us for the selfishness with which we've lived our lives to this very moment. Come into our hearts. Forgive us.
and make us new creatures. Help us to have your strength and your faith, your wisdom, and your willingness. You left everything behind for us. Is there anything too much that you could ask of us? Give us strength now, Lord, to go out and set this world ablaze with your love. We rededicate our lives to you this day, asking only that you give us the faith to believe. We believe, help thou our unbelief, Lord. Give us strength. Thank you so much for those who are willing to rededicate their lives or to give their lives to you for the first time. You know their hearts. You know their spirit. You know what they need. You know what we need. Give us the strength now, Lord, to accomplish your work. For truly time is short and we are guaranteed nothing but this moment. And this one is yours. These things we ask in your holy, blessed name. Amen.